Neu in der Deutschlandcard-App. Sammle Punkte mit deinen Kassenbons von DM, Rossmann und vielen weiteren Supermärkten und Drogerien. Einfach Kassenbons scannen, punkten und sparen. Jetzt gratis mit der Deutschlandcard-App.
Hello everyone and welcome to Off Track Episode 2. I'm actually recording this in UK at the moment and the weather is as cold as it sounds in my voice. I have been struck down with man flu. And for all the men listening out there, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The women, you'll never understand the pain that we have to go through. Anyway, regardless, this episode is of course inspired by the most recent episode that I had, which was with Anthony de Hael. For those who don't know him, he's a food blogger as well as a travel blogger. So it kind of makes a lot of sense that I happen to be in the UK at the time of the episode being released. So I'm back home for a little while anyway. So the conversation today and what I really want to talk to you about is the insights that I kind of gained from my conversation with Anthony. And first and foremost, I have to be totally honest with you. I didn't know Anthony before I met him. He was recommended to me, of course, to Rasha, who knew of him, and a few other people as well. But I was super impressed with the type of consistency of work that Anthony's been doing over the last few years. And of course, his story is also, it's quite similar in some degrees to mine. Feeling, you know, that you belong to a certain country, but spending a lot of time outside of that country. So there was a lot of points where me and him could resonate on. But I was really grateful that Anthony agreed to come on and to share some of the insights that, you know, that he sort of experienced over the last 20, 30 years, especially by the fact that he was in a corporate setting beforehand. He was actually as a dentist before he moved into the world of, you know, content creation and being an influencer. So, of course, I was taking some inspiration also from him on that. But the real insights that I took, there were essentially three in the three different areas. And stay with me on this because, again, this is an unscripted and improv off-track episode. But broadly speaking, the three insights were, for me, the biggest takeaways. And I alluded to it on my most recent post on social. So the first insight was I asked him the question on the insight questions. I asked him, is it the food that makes the people or is it the people that make the food? Now, of course, we all know it's the people that make the food. However, in terms of the identity or the branding or the positioning, I would strongly argue that it's the food that actually makes the people. And a lot of our perceptions and a lot of our beliefs and a lot of the way in which we see other countries or nationalities or cultures, the first window into that, if you like, is food. You know, whether you're ordering takeout or whether you're going to a restaurant or someone, one of your friends has recommended trying a new place. You know, the food is your kind of entry point into understanding that new culture. And it's funny how there are certain types of food cultures that are just so much more prominent and stronger and enrich the brand positioning of a country versus others. I mentioned on the social post, you know, if I was to tell you Italian food, you would have a very strong perception of what that looks like. And, you know, you probably, if you're something like me, you'll really appreciate really good food, especially Italian. But then if I said to you German food, you may not have the same level of resonance with quality, great tasting food, just because, you know, there's not a lot of German restaurants out there, or, you know, the German culture, the German food industry hasn't been able to deliver a strong enough market positioning for others to feel like it's great food. So it's just an interesting point of view that when I asked him the questions like who has the best food, what I'm basically saying is who's marketing it the best. You know, yes, okay, you'll have different types of food that will taste great, 100%, and some will definitely taste better than others based on your own palate. But there is a massive amount of marketing that also goes into it. You know, if I go into a sushi restaurant and I order some sort of regular sushi, if I go to Japan, you know, the food types in Japan are probably completely different. I've never been to Japan, so that's a disclaimer. But I'm imagining the menus you see in Japan are totally different to the menus that you see in the Western world. Same with Chinese food. I'm sure the way in which we in the West or the Middle East consume Chinese food is very, very different to actually how the Chinese consume it in their own country. So how the country has managed to brand itself outside and get people to really love, whether it's sushi or Chinese or whatever the case is I think a really interesting point. And we don't know subliminally how strong that kind of messaging is. I mean, I've always wanted to travel to Argentina because of the steaks or because of the rich heritage when it comes to the meat or the wine or whatever the case is. So I think there are certain countries that I, from my own perspective, would much rather tend to visit because of the prominence of the food in to my knowledge and to what I understand about it and how it's been marketed to myself and to others around me. So that was really the first insight. And then that really food really can make the people, and it is that entry point. It is that window into a different culture. The second insight was when Anthony was really talking about, you know, when is it the right time for you to leave your home country? Now, obviously, he's Lebanese, but he's lived his life outside of Lebanon. A lot of people in Lebanon have tried to leave to try and have a better life, but somehow they're always attracted to wanting to go back, provided the situation in the country gets better. So, from my own personal perspective, I left the UK to move to Dubai when I was 28 years old, and at some level, intrinsically, I just knew that was 100%. The right decision to take. It matched with my life stage, with my ambition, and I was sort of aligned with the point of, right, you know what, at the UK, I've taken as much as I can from it, and I want to explore a different type of culture, and I also want to somehow get back into my roots being in the Middle East. So it just made a lot of sense, and it was like almost like pretty much over a week, you know, it sort of clicked in my mind that I have to leave a country. Dubai is, you know, it's a home away from home for so many people, and I'm so grateful and appreciative that we have home and a home like Dubai, and that we can call it home. But the reality is that we are still expats there, and we are living a life away from where we potentially we grew up or what we've come to know. So then the question then becomes for me and other people who are already in Dubai: when do you leave Dubai? When do you want to go back home? You know, is it something that you have to wait for certain conditions within that country, but that's out of your control? Or is it more about you forcing your own way of living and adapting to that country because you realize that actually there are some things that are more important than others and you're willing to make some sacrifices to gain potentially more elsewhere? So the whole question of when is the right time for you to leave a country or when to go back to a country was really interesting. And you know, I've got two very young boys, and I've told my wife for quite some time, I would love them to go back to the UK at some point so they can have an education outside of the UAE and they can get to experience a different type of way of life. Because at the moment in the Dubai, as people know, the Dubai bubble is somehow real, and they may not get the same level of exposure to other things as they would do in the UK. Right or wrongly, they would get a different type of exposure. And I kind of miss also being in the UK as well. So there's a lot of things that are in the back of my mind thinking, what's right for me, what's right, right for my wife, what's right for my kids. But I do know at some point I will go back to the UK. So it's just a question of, will I have that sort of moment like I did when I was leaving UK for the first time at 28? Or will it be more a series of forced issues that make me have to leave? So I'm debating about it myself, and I think a lot of people who are living in a country that's not necessarily where they were born, where they were raised, they have this sort of thing in the back of their mind: will I ever go back? And then why would it? What would it take for me to go back? And I think everyone's slightly different, but at the same time, I think everyone's also very, very similar. They all want to have the best possible life that they can, and they don't want to make sacrifices on things they don't want to sacrifice for, but they also have an idea of the bigger picture. So I think when Anthony and I were talking, and although we didn't mention it on the episode itself, for me, it got me really thinking about when is it the right time, and will you ever regret it if you were to leave at the wrong time? And you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. The best thing and the bravest thing I ever did in my life was getting a one-way ticket to go to Dubai. This time around, I'll be basically buying a four-way ticket back to the UK. And then how do you know that's the right decision? And you know, it's just one of those things where when you get to a certain age and you're certain worried about certain things, it really does come top of mind. So that really struck home for me. So I'm still trying to figure that out, but I think the right time to leave is when you've got everything is pretty much aligned and it becomes a bit of a no-brainer conversation. I think that's obviously the key. So just wait for that to happen. If it hasn't happened yet, it's probably not the right time for you to leave. And then really the third insight, which is kind of topical for me because it got me thinking about food in general and eating out. I used to love eating out. I used to you know, love going to restaurants, exploring different cuisines, hanging out with my friends, going on date nights, all that kind of stuff. But then the older I've gotten, the more I realized I don't enjoy it as much. It could be the service levels aren't the same. It could be the quality of food is not quite maybe the same. Or it could just be because I don't necessarily enjoy the ambience or the environment as I once did. I was invited to a supper club last week by a friend of a friend, and some of my friends came along for dinner. John Ashard actually was one of them, a former guest on the show. And it was just eight of us at a supper club and getting to know, you know, complete strangers as well as, you know, getting to know your friends even closer. And it's just a wonderful time. And I've done this a few times now. And every time I go to a supper club, I start realizing this is so much more up my alley. And I don't know if it's the age talking or it's the evolution of the sort of the food industry and F&B and where we're going to. But it got me really thinking is that what will the younger generation, what are these Gen Zers, what are they going to be interested in when it comes to F&B? I'm in the UK now and someone was telling me a crazy stat that 40% of all nightclubs in the UK have shut down because the Gen Z audience don't actually enjoy going out for drinks or partying or you know, and they're struggling, the businesses, the local businesses here. So people would much rather stay in, order in, or maybe to go and see their friends. And I think this could be a really interesting potential trend that from the Gen Z audience is that the whole idea of supper clubs becomes more and more prominent and people will be much more willing to spend money going to someone else's home where they can have a nice home-cooked meal, much more intimate gathering, get to know some like-minded people and make some new connections without the hustle and bustle of a restaurant or the, you know, the crazy prices and all that kind of stuff. So I really, really enjoyed the supper club. I definitely want to be doing it more often. John also enjoyed it as well. And I think from my perspective, the whole idea now of going out to a restaurant, I sometimes dread it, to be honest with you. Unless I know the group I'm going with, or it's just me and my wife, and there's this, and you know, we're going to a restaurant that's one of our favorites. I generally don't enjoy it as I once did. And I don't know if you guys are similar to me, but I definitely enjoy cooking at home, especially when my wife cooks. She's a brilliant cook. But I enjoy more and more the idea of spending it with some like-minded people and some close friends at someone else's house. And yes, you pay for it, but you really do feel there's an intimacy and there's a homely vibe. And I think it sort of resonates with me because kind of similar to how the Inside Track is being shot, we obviously shoot it at our home to make it really, really open and friendly and welcoming for our guests. And I think if you know the F&B industry can somehow scale the idea of a supper club, I think that might be onto something. So those are my real three takeaways in terms of insight. So, you know, food really making the people, really knowing when is the time for you to leave a country and go back to your home country. And then the sort of whole idea of the next generation of food and beverage and dining out. And I'm all for supper clubs, man. So that's my take. So I'm going to cut it there. That's my man flu stint. I've done as much as I can and holding my voice together and my sound of my voice, I'm starting to hear myself, is becoming increasingly nasal. So it's probably a good time to close it here. But thank you all for listening. Really looking forward to sharing next week's insights on the next episode. I've got Gatsby Randolph is going to be the next guest coming out. So that's a little cheeky sneak preview in terms of who the next guest is. And it's a crazy episode with Gatsby. And I'm really looking forward to sort of doing a post-episode deep dive on Off Track here. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening and speak soon.
Neu in der Deutschlandcard-App. Sammle Punkte mit deinen Kassenbons von DM, Rossmann und vielen weiteren Supermärkten und Drogerien. Einfach Kassenbons scannen, punkten und sparen. Jetzt gratis mit der Deutschlandcard-App.